Scarpins Audio. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of View from the Cheap Seats, the show where Randy and I break down the world of sports for the week with someone we love, someone who is usually an expert or an athlete who played themselves or a comedian. And this next guy, guy who we're having on the show today is one of our favorite people in the world. He's one of our favorite podcasters in the world.
He has and in the world of sports and with great comedian. He always has a great take.
Always has a great take, comedic take in the world of sports. His name is Dave Damashek. You know him from all of his great work on the NFL. He's also done
comes from like the Kimmel Carolla camp in terms of, you know, stuff in Bill Simmons. I mean, he's kind of all from that world.
He's respected everywhere, and he's on the show today. We'll talk NFL among other things, and later on the show we got a voicemail. But first, top take of the day. Want to dig into this, and I know it's kind of murky waters, and I also know that
also it's a story that happened a little while ago but is ever developing.
So I think at this point, if you follow sports and you're unaware that there was a volleyball match at BYU involving the Duke women's volleyball team and the BYU women's volleyball team, and apparently someone on the Duke squad said that an African-American woman said that she overheard a racial slur shouted at her
while she was serving
and then repeated again at the end of the match. So she said she felt unsafe and obviously, if she did, then
I think her dad was there.
Grandmother also corroborated and said, yes, yes, yes. So BYU singled out a fan who I guess they helped identify and banned this fan from all
and
sporting
that's
events.
What I thought that story was kind
we
of
We thought
over.
That, okay, so that's the story, and BYU dealt with it. And then, you know, BYU took some heat across the board.
Sure did.
So recently, BYU was playing Oregon in football. BYU a good team. Oregon also a good team. The Oregon fans were chanting, fuck the Mormons.
Yeah.
So now someone might say, okay, well, that was just them, you know, trying to put down the football team.
But it feels like there's more heat on them now because of this scenario.
It felt like it was okay to take a shot at BYU because, oh, BYU is, they're throwing out racial epithets at a volleyball game. We can make them easy targets. Oregon's president had to apologize to BYU and to the Mormon community for something like that.
I think the reason they did that is because BYU launched their own investigation into everything and found that.
So they launched their own investigation,
Which, by the way, kudos for them for launching
the
investigation.
And they were transparent about what they did. They said they took the radio play-by-play. They took out the announcer's track. They really listened at every single moment of the match. And they are saying that they can't find a moment. And they checked video and they interviewed 50 people. Including athletes on the Duke squad, and they came to the conclusion that there was no racial slur uttered at this thing, or they couldn't find it.
They couldn't find it. So they unbanned the fan.
Reinstated the fan, and Duke's administration came out and said, we're doubling down, and we believe our athlete, who also is not relenting from what she's saying she heard. So,
and by the way, is someone who has not alleged it anywhere else. Like, is not a person
who's someone who has a history of, like, so here's the deal.
Now we're in a stalemate. What do you do here?
So obviously we want to believe victims. We want to believe people until proven otherwise.
Yeah.
BYU is saying it's been proven otherwise.
Right.
But
Duke
is not accepting it. So what do we do? So I think there is a solution. Mm-hmm. I think there has to be an independent review of the materials that are available.
A person who is, or an entity that is basically accepted by both BYU and Duke to be the
word. Or if BYU is concerned, then bring a Duke, then have a board of Duke members or a joint committee of people who are on the side of Duke and on the side of BYU.
Exactly.
And then have them come to a conclusion. Now, it might be the same conclusion that BYU drew, or it might be.
And if that's the conclusion, then it must be accepted by everyone.
Well, I think that's the only way that we can move forward and have an answer. Because right now, you could argue, I mean, look, the Mormon church in general, the LDS church, has had a history of covering up certain situations. Mm-hmm. So whether
and they're
that's,
very heavily involved in BYU as far as the university.
It's a Brigham Young University.
Right.
It's a Mormon university.
Right.
So those connections and those ties, whether fair or not, to the outside world is like, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
So you're saying for BYU's sake, you want to get this right and you don't want to look like it's
you
just
You want to look as transparent and you want to look as clearly open as you can if you're going to deny that this
right,
happened.
Right.
If you're going to say, if they left it at like, look, we banned this dude and we didn't really necessarily hear it, but we don't stand for that. And they've said that over and over again. We don't stand for that behavior.
Sure.
But they're saying they can't find the behavior.
That's right.
So now they're essentially calling this kid a liar, which
Duke is not backing down.
Duke is like,
either.
We're not calling our student. Our student would not lie. So now it's up against their word, her word against their word. And the only way to solve that, I think, is to have
because
an independent
if
counsel.
If you let it go, you're going to have more situations like happened in Oregon where everyone's like, fuck the Mormons.
Or, and even worse, this feeds into the larger issue of our world, which is someone claiming something, someone else being like, I don't believe you. Both sides dig their feet in, and then there's no resolution.
Not only are they digging their feet in, they're digging their heels in.
They're digging their heels in.
And the whole foot is being dug in.
And what they're saying is this will become politicized. This is something.
It already has.
There's someone saying, oh, this is a Jesse Smollett situation.
Right.
Or this versus is woke, making this up. Woke culture trying to push a narrative. Now it becomes politicized. And this kid, she may have thought she heard it.
Yeah.
She may have actually heard something.
Right.
We don't know. And maybe she heard something that wasn't able to be deciphered
on the thing because it's set under the breath.
Audio. Like, we don't know where it was coming from. So that's why I think everyone involved needs to be interviewed.
Right.
And then there has to be...
My guess is that an independent person is going to come through and say that it's inconclusive, and we're going to get at this same spot, which is that
that would be the worst for everyone.
That'd be the worst for everyone,
because now we're back in the same spot. But at least, look, if they come out and say we don't have any, we can't find an example of this, we've dug as deep as we can, and we want to believe you, but we can't find
evidence.
And
right now, it looks like BYU protecting its own fans.
Possibly.
Right.
To some people, it could look like that.
It's a bad look.
So I hope they figure this out.
God, I hope they figure
this
it out.
This is a crazy, crazy story.
Crazy.
We'll keep following.
Keep following, keep updating. On the other side of the break, we got Dave Damashek. I'm very excited to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I can't make heads or tails of this football season. And, you know, Jay and I are in a pick'em league where you just pick the game straight up. And I'm telling you, last 2 weeks, I've had the most. I look through it. Usually, you
eight
have an idea.
I'm like 8-8 every week.
Every
That's
single
I
week.
I can't. So, some are right. Some are wrong. Some I guess right. Some I guess
I have
wrong.
Had the hardest time ever picking these games. I looked at these games and I'm like, I don't know where to go. And that's maybe a good thing for the NFL. We'll talk about all that and much more with Dave Damashek on the other side of the break.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. It's so great to have this gentleman on.
We just did his great podcast, the fantastic Dave Damashek. How are you, buddy?
I'm well, and
outstanding.
I'm all the best.
He's outstanding.
Call back to your podcast in the Home and Home podcast
yeah.
series that we've done this week. The big takeaway from that, according to Mo Damashek, my mother, mm-hmm. Who'd be a much better guest than I would ever
Damashek.
Be. She, listen, 100%. What is it? Q rating? Is that like how you're evaluated by your audience?
QBR. What's our QBR?
Never have in my many years in this business.
She never gave you 100.
No, she always does.
Okay,
no, that's why I have a wonky sense of self-esteem because.
Sure.
You know, people always say you want to have a good, loving parent, mm-hmm. you know, and that's
too
how you
loving
want to
is not good.
That's what happened to me. When I left the confines of the four walls of our home, I felt betrayed by
right.
the rest of the world. Like, wait a second. According to old Mo
over here, you need somewhere between Mo Damashek and Adrian Peterson. Like, you don't want to have rip your scrotum open with a tree branch, but at the same time,
you don't want someone to say that your shit doesn't stink.
Exactly.
Exactly, right. It's so... bottom line with old Mo is she's very high on the Sklar brother.
Oh,
because
yes. I don't know whether to take – is that a good thing or can we trust her judgment there?
Here's what she said. She said – I'll try to quote her.
Let's
she
quote
said,
the old Mo.
They seem like very nice
people. There we go.
Hey,
all right, I'll take that.
I said they're funny guys. She said they're funny and that –
but
you know what? What you can really tell is they're just really nice
I
guys.
Love it.
And what
Mo
she
Damashek.
Liked – most than anything, forget about me, that was that you complimented her grandson, Jean-Claude Van Damashek.
Van Damashek.
Good kid. Comes from good stock. Don't overcompliment him.
Kid.
Don't overcompliment him. All right, let's talk about the NFL because we're in it and I'm in a pick'em league for the first time in my entire life. No points.
Straight up. Just pick'em.
Straight up pick the games.
Never been harder to do
the
that.
The last 2 weeks, I'm like looking through these games. I'll pull it up on my phone. I was like, I'll tell you, I had a problem with every single game going, I don't know where to go with this. I have no clue where to go
with
this.
Wait, Jacksonville's good now? What?
Are they good?
Talk to me. I guess so. That you know, for me, if we're talking hardcore wagering, it would require a major jump in terms of wins for them to win the division. But if Matt Ryan's going to continue to stink on to the degree that he has in the first fortnight of the season, I guess all things are possible. And the thing with Trevor Lawrence, the scouts get a ton of things wrong. It's the most overrated.
Totally.
We hang on their every word every springtime as though they never miss, and they, in fact, miss about 40-50% of the time.
Which, by the way, is still a good batting average.
You're hitting
60%, that's 600 batting average. That's not bad.
I wish the Pittsburgh Pirates could get somebody who could
hit
that rate. But mazel tov to you on Albert Pujols.
Thank you.
But it's the one thing that they haven't gotten wrong is when everybody's on board with that QB is going to be great,
QB
a generational,
one, generational great. Talent.
Right. John Elway, they were right about. Andrew Luck, they were right about.
Dan Marino, they were right. When he was coming out of Pitt, they were like, this guy is special.
He knows.
Well, my old man was a Pitt doctor. And we actually fielded calls from pro football teams at our house during that draft. Like,
amazing.
Hey, what's going on with these rumors about this Danny Marino kid?
Dude.
Trevor Lawrence is not going to flop, and so he's good. But the defense is really good, too, so maybe they will take that division.
So the defense is really good, and you wonder, they just stacked a bunch of players in the years where they were bad. They just got a lot of great players that, okay, so I'm looking through this, and I'm like, can you pick the Browns versus the Steelers? It's like, it's in Cleveland. Cleveland's what? Are they 2-0? They lost last week in terrible fashion at the end of that game. The Steelers,
which we'll get into in our quick hits.
The Steelers, I don't even understand. Like, stop playing. The Mitch Trubisky era is over.
If it was over in Chicago.
Am I right?
You can't possibly be excited about Mitch Trubisky.
I'm not excited about that. Let the
rookie make his mistakes.
I do love that, you know, in the 21st century, it is the QB league. Everything is about
everything.
Who the quarterback 100%. Is.
Everything.
And on Amazon, prime time,
yeah.
Jacoby Brissett versus Mitch Trubisky.
I mean, right.
Swoony stuff. I don't know if this is too progressive, you know, on the banks of the Three Rivers, you know, Coach Tomlin, defense and all of that.
Yeah.
My idea is that, you know, people are arguing Pickett should be in there or Trubisky, and then there are even some Mason Rudolph Rudolph fans.
He'll take a helmet to the head.
You're right.
If he's proven that.
Boy, he totally has.
I
just hope those field mics are turned on this time. Crazy stuff. All the field mics were off and no one heard
anything down there.
Yeah.
It's weird. All that footage got thrown.
But Miles Garrett, he heard it. No one else heard it.
Sure.
Strange. Anywho, my big idea is Rudolph, Pickett, Trubisky. Don't put an or there. Put an and in there. All three of them. Snap it back to them. And they're all three lined up behind the center.
Wishbone.
Then they do a little mini huddle amongst themselves, and then one emerges with
the ball. So we've seen that on kickoffs before.
Right.
That recently there's a college team, I think, did that where they all converge.
That's a great idea.
And then who has the ball? You run
but
out.
But my point is, I can't pick that game. If it were in Pittsburgh, I guess I would pick Pittsburgh. But, like, can you? I don't know. That's a tough one. The Patriots all of a sudden are good, and Baltimore fell apart at the end of that game. I'm like, and it's in New England? How do you pick that game? I have no idea. I think it's easy to pick the Bills. I think they're going to run away with everything. But Miami throws six touchdowns against a really good Baltimore defense that apparently is not good anymore. The Jets and the Bengals. Are the Bengals due for it? The Jets won last time. The Vikings, who looked horrible, against the Lions. Who do you pick there? Chicago against Texans. I don't know who you pick there. Obviously, Kansas City, you picked that one. But Tennessee versus the Raiders. They both had bad weeks last week.
Boy, what? Whoever loses that one's pretty much cooked and it's not even the end of September.
The Saints versus the Panthers. Who wins that game? Obviously, I'm going to pick the Eagles, but, you know, I think the Chargers, but are the Jaguars for real? Jay was talking about
the Chargers. I mean, how long is the quarterback out?
I think Justin Herbert's going to be all right. From what I read, he's going to play in this next one. But, yeah, that's a good,
he's hobbled,
but fascinating
game.
Is he limited?
Can't move? Seattle and Atlanta. I don't even know who to pick there. I just don't know who to pick there. Green Bay and Tampa Bay. Those are two really good teams. I think I'm going to pick Tampa Bay, but I don't know.
It is a lot like when
Rams-Cardinals.
The never-ending discussion that, like, what if the Justice League fought the Avengers and, like, the matchups, you have to get them
you
just right, like Superman versus Hulk, but then, you know, like be Green Arrow versus Hawkeye. The week three NFL,
arrow
it's like they line these up perfectly.
Yeah.
Like,
so the Rams versus the Cardinals. Kyler Murray, Fran Tarkentining it around for 22 seconds. It was one of the greatest plays I've ever seen. That game was one of the best games I've ever seen. The back and forth in that game was fantastic. San Francisco, I guess they got their quarterback now, the one who should have been there all the way since the get-go, against Denver. Who do you pay? The Giants against Dallas. Dallas, I was like, they're cooked. They don't have Dak Prescott. They're better.
It's very weird and unpredictable. Speaking of unpredictable,
I can't pick anything.
I don't know what kind of students you guys were in school, but I was just talking to in high school and college. I was not. I didn't attend a lot of class.
Mo Damashek said you were perfect.
She did. She said
you're great.
You know what?
You're great.
She said it's wrong for you not to go to class, but you are right that you're probably smarter than
those
teachers.
He's right.
Kind of thing.
They don't appreciate you, is what she said.
That's right. They just don't get you.
They don't understand where you're coming from. Okay. It's on them.
I think I was just talking with our mutual friend Kevin Hench about this exact same thing with Kyler Murray and the improvisation versus going off of the script. Mm-hmm. And it really is sort of like, for someone like me and for someone like Hench, you know, who didn't perform particularly well in school, he is now our hero, Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Because what we heard in the offseason, what we heard in summertime was he doesn't hit the books enough. Well, apparently,
doesn't
he for some of us, thinking too much and studying too much just gets in the way, right?
100%. So but also people questioned his mental state at the end of last year. You're like, he's taking plays off like he's Scottie Pippen in a playoff run, you know? But then you're saying to yourself, I don't know. Maybe this kid is just incredible. He's as good as we thought he was. So I literally looked at those slate of games and I'm like, I can pick every single one of these wrong, or I could be right on everyone. Chances are I'll be 8-8. Like we've just been.
You'll be eight and eight. You'll be half right and half wrong. And I don't.
But have we? So my larger question is, have we ever seen? When was the last time you saw the league this up in the air in terms of we don't know who's actually?
Listen, I don't mean to be a curmudgeon and push back. I think it's every year. I think every year we fall into the same traps that we do at the same time on the sports calendar with these things about,
you didn't
like,
think the Rams last year, like as they were starting to surge and you're like, oh, they've got their quarterback now.
Green Bay, I was like, every time they play, they're going to win.
Well, but with the Rams last year in November, they got whipped, or maybe it was even December, they got whipped in San Francisco, and you thought, oh, they're phony, and this Odell Beckham thing's not going to work out, and then they win the Super Bowl. I think the other side of the coin is, and you know, you look at the rosters after the draft and free agency between then and the start of the season, and it actually bleeds into September now. Maybe we're too generous of souls. Maybe we're just so empathetic collectively that we talk ourselves into the goodness of other human beings. But I look at these teams. I could talk myself into pretty much every single team being good.
I talk myself into the Lions. I talk myself into being a Lions fan this year.
So
that is what I have
in
become.
In that vein, what I'm going to push back to your pushback and say, this year, unlike other years, the bad teams are better.
The Jacksonville Jaguars were a mess last year, and you could count on that as a victory. You can't count on it anymore.
Like, I watched
the Giants they were going to do something.
They
even
were a hot mess.
Daniel Jones was going to be at 80 yards of clear grass and AstroTurf in front of him, and he's going to trip and fall at the 20-yard line. You know it. It's the Giants. Not going to happen. The Jets are terrible. They lost their quarterback. He's out diddling around with his mom's friend. You don't know what's going to happen to the. And then suddenly Joe Flacco is playing out of his mind. Do you know what I mean? Like, the bad teams better this year, causing you to question.
And the ultimate is the Lions, because you say, so the Lions
36 points both games, over 35 points.
The Lions take a defensive player as their number one pick, a Michigan guy.
A culture guy.
A guy who's like going to be like, I'm going to come in and change the culture. I'm going to be that guy. Because he did. He did it for Michigan. And they're like, he's going to do it here too. And he kind of has. With Dan Campbell at his side. I mean, I'm sure you've seen.
Dan Campbell is the perfect coach for this guy.
For this guy. And the moment, the viral moment that's coming out of last week that I keep seeing on my TikTok, that I keep seeing over and over, is Dan Campbell saying to the offensive lineman who's got cut from six teams, how about it? How about this guy? Whatever, Hopper, whatever, Skipper. They did the fucking thing. And like, the guy's like, you know, does the sheepish smile. And then they cut to his press conference. He's like, I got cut by six teams. The contracts aren't worth the paper that they're printed on. And finally, I get out there, I get a chance to play. And he's like, my family's here. But I'm like starting to cry. And I'm like, this team, how can you not love this team?
Of course. If nothing else, don't we all want a meaningful football game on Thanksgiving to watch. I feel like the Lions are going to give us that at least.
Miami too.
Right. This is great. I listen, the Lions, and I embrace and I support your decision without St. Louis natives having a football team to root for of their own. I love the choice of the Lions. You get in at the ground floor.
Amen.
It makes sense. Michigan men, Aiden Hutchinson.
Sure, sure.
It all works.
Honolulu Blue, I'm with you.
I do wonder when Dan Campbell's giving his weird malaprop-filled speeches in August, everybody, like, and people are like, look out for the Lions. And you can do that watching Hard Knocks every year. You see that, and you're like, who's going to ever beat this team?
Just give me a slow-motion shot of sprinklers, and I'm like, I believe in this team.
They're the best. They're going to the Super Bowl or bust. But I always think, do you think when you're listening to Dan Campbell talk about one butt cheek and three toes and grit, do you think Bill Belichick's like, I'm scared of this team.
No, he's not.
He laughs. Yeah. Like, this is what they do in other locker rooms. No wonder I've won so many Super Bowls.
But the beauty of that is Earl Weaver was great the way he coached, and Tommy Lasorda
was
great.
There are 100 ways to skin a cat.
The way he coached. Right. And Joe Maddon is the guy who wound up getting the Cubs up
Mr.
over the
like, top. I got to have my wife at the press conference and talk about what wine I'm drinking.
We are drinking red wine. I'm riding my bike to the stadium. It's like there are so many ways. Torre was weird. Is a different bird than Whitey Herzog. You know what I mean? They were just different guys. There are different ways to skin the cat.
It's so true. And I know you guys are big time Big Ten guys and Ann Arbor and the good times with Jim Harbaugh and everything else. No wonder you're excited about it. But 15, 20 years ago, college football, just to the eyeball, was more satisfying if you like diversity in the way to skin the cat. Like one team was running the wishbone, other one was throwing deep pass, and now everybody runs the same offense in college football, and it's the pros where you see difference. Lamar Jackson running, he runs like a mid-80s Jamel Holloway at Oklahoma style offense there.
Yes.
And then other teams, never run the ball. Do they have a running back in Buffalo? Doesn't matter because our quarterback is a better running back than you have.
Tennessee the other night, I literally was watching Tennessee play against the Bills, and I'm like, they're passing too much. They're putting too much pressure on Ryan Tannehill. I'm like, you got a Mack truck in the backfield. Send that guy out every single time.
But
who cares?
I watched him, the Bills defense. I watched Derrick Henry.
Bills defense.
I just watched him cut down. They cut him down behind the line of scrimmage. You know what I feel like is happening in both college and in the pros is I feel like secondaries are better this year. Guys are getting covered more, and it's allowing – you're seeing more sacks. I feel like the defensive coordinators are, in this moment, smarter than the offensive coordinators.
I kind of agree with you that the defense is – if you took the Bills out of the equation and the Dolphins, who are both putting up crazy point totals or at least in 2 weeks in – right, I think that is kind of the takeaway. The defenses are good. There's than usual.
We had like five games that were like 20-20 and going to overtime.
How about
two weeks ago?
Who picked up the fumble and ran it back it was the Cardinals.
The Cardinals did that, but I guess that point is best proven. Tom Brady is the face of the league for many reasons, and he has many issues going on that are well covered here.
Beyond.
What a weirdo!
We know too much about his relationship. I know too much about the fact that his wife isn't living with him. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't know that about you.
I kind of agree with that. Not to be precious, but was it decided that athletes needed to be treated like celebrities and people
like Kardashians?
We need to know all of this.
We don't need to know it.
Although, if you like to gamble, then maybe we do need to know these
things.
That's
something that goes into the... By the way, I was watching the Dolphins game, and I'm like... And there's a moment where the Dolphins are... And Waddle, I have him on my fantasy team, and he had a number of points. Meanwhile, I was up 130-30 going into that Monday night game. The guy had Josh Allen. The guy had Stephon Diggs. The guy had somebody. I lost. I lose my week. I'm up. I have 139 points. I don't think I've ever scored 139 points in fantasy ever, and I still lose the goddamn week. Whatever. The point is, I'm watching that, and I'm like, there is no way you can allow Tyreek Hill to get behind you. There is no way you can do it. In this drive, in this moment, with 30 seconds left in the game, you cannot let him get back. And he runs behind him. Is he that good, or are people that dumb?
Both. I agree with you completely. It is weird that the fastest guy in the league...
Don't let this guy get behind you.
Nobody.
No. Do not.
Nobody wanted to cover him.
You don't want to do a too high safety situation where you got a guy going like 80 yards back and be like, just get in front of me?
Just get in front of him. Like you, maybe he beats you out in a juke move, but no, you're not going to let him get behind you.
Right. But the thing about these Dolphins, again, it's only 2 weeks. Let's see what they do against the Bills. But they have a vibe early on here of like, you guys remember the St. Louis Rams with Kurt Warner, the greatest show on turf.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson's explosion in 2019 and Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill when they broke out in KC. There's this weird vibe among like high, you know, world-class athletes that when you drop a guy or a few guys into the same situation, like all of a sudden the league is surprised by them. Whoa. What's it? they're fast, but wait, I'm super fast. No one's ever been faster than me. And they have multiple guys just running right by me.
Right.
I feel like the league is a little spooked. I wonder how far the Dolphins can ride this. It's fun.
So Waddle and Hill to me are like agreed, like Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. It's like pick your poison. You really want to shut this guy down and double up on this guy? Well, this guy.
We got your fast guy on this guy. Watch out for this guy.
Tyreek Hill's got that weird thing too of this superhuman gift that I ultimately
5'8" maybe. Tyreek Hill 5'8".
Yeah. Well, he's not. Listen, I think
he's
we can
not
agree.
Not 6 feet tall.
He's not a great human being.
No.
And
no.
Maybe that's information that to your earlier point.
Good to know that as well.
Yeah.
It's like hard to root for that guy.
Not a great fella. Perhaps, but as a physical specimen.
Even Mo Damashek would say, I think, my favorite.
Right, yeah. Well,
she's got a lot of good words to say about people. No.
She did used to when we would go to Pitt football games and a bad team like Rutgers or Temple would come to town, and Pitt was like a top five team every year, and Temple would score in the first half, and we would sit behind the visitors' bench, and so they would be celebrating, and everybody would be disgusted that Pitt allowed a touchdown.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And Mo would say, look how happy those boys are. Isn't that nice for them?
It's a great attitude.
Keep it down, would you, Mo? You're embarrassing us.
Yeah, they're happy. Let them have a moment.
But yes, Tyreek Hill, I ultimately like it that he does things like when the ball's in the air, because Tua maybe doesn't have as big an arm as Patrick Mahomes, he has to slow down. But he comes to almost a standstill to wait for the ball, catches it, and then resumes at full speed.
Goes
he doesn't like need like five, doesn't need like the Scooby or Shaggy ramp up.
Full speed.
Just like at full speed. But I like it because
like
it
Kyler
makes
Murray
sense to me.
To me.
It's like when I see that, it serves as a powerful reminder. See, Dave, that's why you're not in the NFL. Because you can't do that.
That's something.
Mac Jones, I feel like, why is he allowed and I'm not?
So that's the difference between me going and seeing a concert where someone's playing an instrument that I could never play and being like, well, I could never do that. I can't play the clarinet like that. I can't play the saxophone like that. But if you do stand-up comedy and
everyone's
you're telling
like,
stories,
be funny. I'm funny.
I bet I could get on stage and do that.
That's why people feel like they can. I was helping you out. We don't need any help. No one is ever like shouting at the symphony, play the A. Like, you know, I was helping you out.
True.
Nobody ever does that.
People, because they know there's another option at quarterback, they don't say, put me in there. But they always want the backup QB. But you're absolutely right. Everybody thinks I could do a better job than the offensive coordinator's doing.
Yes.
And how many notes like, I mean – It is the best, you know, comedy writing and being on stage like you guys are. Yes, that people are just so forthcoming with their critiques for you.
Like, I've got it.
Nah, you know what would be the story you hear all the time is like, I got a great story for a script if you want. What is it? It's always their life, basically. The you know what would be great? Would be a goldmine.
I saw a review of Patton Oswalt's latest special, which
is hilarious.
He's a genius, and it is hilarious. The review was literally all about how the reviewer took one bit that Patton did in his special and praised it and then used it as a metaphor for the rest of the special. They were so proud of themselves for actually doing that. I'm like, okay, so you made one comparison to the rest, and it was all in a service of digging on him because they said he didn't finish his special. Now, listen, you're allowed to critique what someone does, and that's what you're doing. You're reviewing the special right there. But I was like, you're too excited that you made this thing. And also you're praising this bit and whatever. Like, you're not thinking about it in the totality of this guy's the entire amount of work. But it's the same thing. Everyone wants to level their critiques on
that. My favorite one
But I would never tell Tyreek Hill your route running is terrible.
I could do better.
Your personality is awful.
Cheetah.
Right, exactly. Right.
Yeah, it's my favorite one of those was I get staffed on the Kimmel late night show. Mm-hmm. Over the moon, you know.
So happy.
Career defining. It's sure. great. Oh,
amazing.
this is I'm a late night writer, grow up watching Incredible. Pittsburgh sports and waking up in the mornings to watch the Letterman that mm-hmm. I taped on VHS before I go to school every day.
Yeah.
Well, I get to talk about sports and I get to crack wise, you know, how lucky am I? This news comes through and I'm talking to a friend and she says, you know, I'm good for you, but not really a Kimmel fan. Bigger fan of Jon Stewart. Could you talk to somebody at The Daily Show? Maybe get on there? Like, no, I cannot do that.
Do
and
that.
I'm not moving to New York, by the way.
Also, thanks a lot for raining on my parade.
That's the worst.
If you could do something that's nearly impossible
that's like our cousin,
for me.
That's like our cousin who is constantly asking us, do we know this comic or that comic? Because she says they're great. Like, how about us?
We're great too.
It's like the Chappelle bit when his son was like, I need $200. He's like, why? He's like, I want to go see Kevin Hart. And he's like, I do this shit too.
I do this too.
So, all right. So we agree that football, and maybe because the bottom is raising up, is in a state of we just don't know. Like, I listed all those games. There's no way.
Parity. It's a state of parity.
Which I think is good for the game.
And obviously, I agree with you. We are still in week three. Leaders will emerge.
Kansas City will be great. Buffalo looks great. The Chargers will hopefully be there in
Tampa
the end.
Bay looks good. So there are
Rams are good. I mean, there are, yes. But there's a lot that we don't know. There really is. And I'm excited about that in the NFL. Baseball season is wrapping up right now, obviously, for you and the Pittsburgh Pirates.
It wrapped up several months ago.
It started?
Thank you. That's the question. What is your opinion on, because now there's like a huge debate, and it's really not even a debate, because Aaron Judge just hit his 60th home run last night when we're recording this. He may cross Roger Maris by the time this drops on Friday. What is your opinion between is Shohei Ohtani the MVP for all the things that he can do, or is Aaron Judge the MVP because he's having
this magical
this historic
season.
Because one's having a crazy season that has never been seen before in the history of the game, and one is having a historic season.
First of all, regarding the Pirates and all the other bum teams, and there are a bunch of them now,
sure.
The haves and have-nots in baseball is much worse than any other sport.
Right, man.
We really need to take the lead of the Premier League over in England.
Relegation team. Yeah.
How great would that – and like I said, I'm
Amazing.
A Pirates guy. How fun would it be if, like, hey, Buccos, you lose this one.
You're triple A,
and the Toledo Mudhens are replacing you in the bigs. That would be the greatest. That would make it interesting again for
it
once.
Certainly would make guys run out ground balls in September.
Yes, correct. That's right.
You're not digging one out.
And did you see one of their stars eating sunflower seeds during an act of play? The ball is
glove
in play.
Off. Glove off as a guy rounds third. And he's eating sunflower seeds. That's a Pittsburgh Pirate third baseman.
Who's the guy on the Pirates who just crushes his exit velocity is insane?
O'Neill Cruz.
This kid.
Who is a 6 foot six shortstop.
6'7". 6'7".
Shortstop.
It's very Dave Winfield-y or Octopussy. Octopussy, I just stumbled into that one.
Strange.
They allowed that to be made?
They allowed that
for everybody?
Well, the name of the movie.
Ads and everything? Like,
was that the name of the movie or was it the name of the movie?
The name of the movie. And the character. There was also a character.
And also the Octomom.
She could have been called the Octopussy. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest.
I didn't mean to tip my hat to Roger Moore era Bond films, but yes, he is like an octopus or a giraffe or otherwise. Somehow, when all these pointy limbs and everything, they all combine right at the point of contact. I don't know how he's that coordinated.
He gets it's to me like Chris Sale or Randy Johnson.
Right.
He gets the whip of the bat.
It's like it shows – that's what I love about baseball is that you don't have to be in shape. You can be Rowdy Tellez and be just a fat guy. And you can crush. You can crush. I love it. I love fat Kyle Schwarber more than I like thin Kyle Schwarber.
Yes, of course.
Steroids
ruin things. They created a distance between normal people and high-end athletes. I hail Daniel Vogelbach of the Metropolitan, formerly of the Bucks.
Yes.
This is a slob of a man out there
playing
at the highest level.
Was he good on the Bucks? Was he good on the Pirates?
Okay, I choose not to acknowledge the existence
right.
of the Pirates. Yeah, you know, yeah, he was a guy. He had his moments
fun.
With the Buccos. Yeah, it was very fun. Aaron Judge. I think this is great. The thing with speaking of steroids, this thing of you know, Barry Bonds and, well, we have to asterisk him and Mark McGwire and the Patriots with Spygate, and we need to asterisk their things. This misses the point. There is already an asterisk in our minds. We don't need to do anything. You don't need to impose something over Barry Bonds' deeds.
I say just write it on the plaque.
Put him in the Hall of Fame. This guy would have been a 600 home run, 600
Barry Bonds
stolen
would have
bases.
I say 500 home runs, 500 stolen bases, 3,000 hits, Gold Gloves galore. He's the National League version of Ken Griffey Jr. He's like Willie McCovey. He's like Willie Mays in many ways. You draw comparisons. 99.1% first ballot Hall of Famer. You go down in history as one of the greatest players ever. You're literally for the Pirates in Pittsburgh. They love you there. For
San Francisco,
they love you. You're a loved person on the thing. Now you're a villain because you got greedy and you wanted to be a little bit better. Put that on the plaque and have it go in there.
I love the passive aggressive plaque that you want to create for him. It scolds him while you honor him at the same time.
Sure.
Like,
you're in the
Hall
of Fame.
Here's what his numbers might have been if he had done it like a nice person.
So he rose. Great player, bet on a bunch of games, is kind of an asshole. Boom, he's in the Hall
also
of Fame.
Also, may have dated a 13-year-old.
Right.
All right, P. Rose. Charlie Hustle. But look,
Give Will Smith the Oscar for King Richard. Don't let him give the speech. This is your greatest moment ever, and you effed it up. You effed it up because you got greedy in this moment. You became an asshole in this thing. You don't get to have that great moment. So, Pete Rose, you're allowed into the Hall of Fame. You're never allowed to go.
We'll announce your name. You don't get to make a
speech. Don't get to make a speech. You don't get to do this. So
you don't get to come to all the events ever.
You're banned. But you're in the Hall of Fame, which is...
You can come visit the Hall of Fame on a day that you want
to
come
visit. I
like
it because it's cutting your nose to spite your face if you're a Hall of Fame and you... By the way, all these Halls of Fame, just move them up to where they belong atop Mount Pius. Because
yes.
What is the crazy the crazy math of, like, well, Ty Cobb's in there, and how many racist stories have you heard from guys in the first half of the 20th century?
A bunch, but then I heard great stories about Ty Cobb.
That he was the biggest fan of Jackie Robinson ever.
Really?
Yes.
Wouldn't that be funny? If that ends up being true, we have so sullied the name Ty Cobb as our touchdown
but
of bad
is.
Guys.
There
in
are
the hall.
Stories and pictures of him with Ty Cobb. With Jackie Robinson, and he's like, he was the biggest fan of his ever. It's just bizarre.
You guys should make that movie, the Ty Cobb great guy story. Who belongs in the hall? You're the Baseball Hall of Fame, and you go in there. You're a father. You bring your little boy to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Like, where's the guy who had the most home runs? Like, well, he's not here. How about the guy with the most hits? Like, him. Who's the best pitcher of the last 50 years? He's not in here. Like, what the hell are we doing here, old man?
Right. What is this?
Baines? We came to see Harold Baines as black?
All right, but so Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge, gun to your head, what do you say in this moment?
I hate to be a creep about it. It's great what Ohtani's doing, but it's right there in the awards. Most valuable player. Right. This team stinks, the Halos. How can you give – I get – that you do make an exception with the special
year.
He's
keeping them being from especially terrible.
That's how
valuable he is to this team. Take him off, and they're the Pirates.
Imagine, though, how do you feel? Probably 8-10 years ago, I made the point, and it's even more true, 10 years further true than what it was when I said it. But imagine being a Packers fan.
Yeah.
And you have Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. Another great guy.
I mean, great phenomenal. Siphoning
best.
Money.
The best.
Just a good guy. Yeah.
Certainly, Mississippi doesn't need any money for its clean water or anything. Sure.
My goodness.
Make sure
Brett
your
Favre.
Daughter has a good volleyball
state. Ayahuasca guy. Yeah. Like, that's small potatoes.
The right. Yeah.
Ivermectin, not worried about that compared to the other
guy. Yeah.
Thank you, Brett Favre.
Yes, exactly. But you go from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, never worse than the second best quarterback in the sport, and you get the same number of Lombardis as Trent Dilfer and Joe Flacco gave to the Ravens. It's tough. And then you have in hockey, you have Dreisaitl and McDavid, and they haven't done much up
That's
in Edmonton.
Right.
In baseball, Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani are two of the five best players in baseball,
baseball,
and they stink. It's crazy.
So that tells you that baseball is
a team sport.
It's a team sport.
It's about who gets hot, and it's about pitching. I mean, you could say Ohtani, yes, he's part of the pitching staff.
But they never put the rest of the team around them to do it. I agree. I think what Aaron Judge is doing is under the pressure of New York. I mean, it's Reggie Jackson-esque. I mean, it's like, and again,
he's also like a larger than life, 6'8".
It almost feels unfair because that's what takes away from it. It's like, well, yeah, of course he should. It's like, it's why Shaq didn't get appropriate credit
right
for his dominance. Like, well, that's what he should do. Right. Look at him. Yeah. Like, well, I think
we. No, you still have to hit a baseball.
Yeah, you do. But like, I do. I see you, and I know that like, what is like a routine fly ball for someone else?
Lance Bergman needs a lot more to get it up over the wall than this guy.
Yeah, so this guy can one arm it out over a short left field porch.
That's true. Right. He's like genetically engineered
we
to do
this. We find Vogelbach more relatable than Judge, as 100%. It turns out. But yes, Judge is the MVP. He's on the one of the best teams. And, you know, for what the pressure in New York matters. But yes, I'm surprised. I'm underwhelmed by the celebration. It has been ruined by Barry Bonds and McGuire and everybody else hitting 60 home runs or 70 home runs.
Right.
Or whatever. And he. It trips your mind up some that he's gigantic and he would – if this were 2002, you would look at him and be like, well, obviously
he's on steroids, yeah.
But I don't know – I don't think he is.
I don't think he
is. And nobody has hit 60 – I don't know off the top of my head the last guy to hit 60. This is a great deed that he's done. And nobody – people are like little skeptical of it. So Barry Bonds did it again.
So Pujols is 2 away. Does – I mean, I think Judge crosses 61 for sure. I think he probably winds
one
up
away. With, yeah, I think he winds 65 up 65 maybe.
Yeah, 65, 66. I think he winds up with that 64, 65. Does Pujols get to 700? And how great are those at bats post 699 in St. Louis? Every single at bat like is the greatest thing you've ever seen.
Ah, listen, I'm happy for St. Louis fans that it broke the way it did. Sure. What I don't like is when guys go off in the last 5 or 8 years of their career and they play for like 3 or 7 different teams.
That's right.
And then they do the one-day contract.
The one-day
and then they retire. Like, I'm retiring as a Cardinal. Who is this for?
Yeah. It's for you.
What child is duped by this? Like, for the player, he knows that that's not true. Know. The organization doesn't think it. The fans are
they know what's up. We all know what's going on.
But it's very weird.
But then he actually wore the powder blue and hit home runs for you down the stretch.
Maybe the best farewell since Ted Williams hit the final pitch out, the splendid splinter hits the final pitch out as a home run. To me, I think this is one of the greatest.
Was he at 18, 19 home runs?
He's at 19 home runs.
44 years old.
I know, but the truth is, last year with the Dodgers, he had 17 home runs.
Hmm.
And he had 50 RBIs. So he's like at 19 and 52. So it's not like all the people, Max Kellerman and those, saying, he's juicing, he's probably juicing. You're wrong. He's basically doing what he did last year. It's just coming in a much more clutch situation.
Is that what people are saying? They're trying to sully Pujols' leads with
Max Kellerman was like, I don't know what I'm seeing here, and something's not right. I mean, of course, he's just trying to drum up some stuff. But I'm like, this is kind of amazing what he's doing towards the end. And if he hits 700, to me, I think it is going to be the best thing ever for baseball.
He's a little too heavy set, right?
Yes. Vogelbach-ish.
Yeah, right. He's leaning in that
big
direction.
He's Rowdy Tellez's. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got quick hits. We got Dave Damaschek with us.
We'll tell you about his podcast, how you can follow him and support him on social
media. All that on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. Before we get into our quick hits, which we have some stories that we'll break down with Dave in the world this week, we want to remind people we're in Ann Arbor tonight. We're in Ann Arbor doing shows.
Tonight we're doing one show, and then after the show with the guys from MGO Blog, it's a fantastic blog about Michigan sports. Those guys will be on stage with us. We'll do a Q&A afterwards. It's just $10 more you get to do.
Yeah, it's like a little extra show on top of the show. Super fun. Tomorrow night, 2 shows. We'll be
at the game. Come say hi to us. We'll be hopefully.
We'll be among 110,000 people.
Yeah, just come find us.
La. I've been to the Big House a couple of times. Fun. That is a fun atmosphere.
Super fun.
It's
most
great.
Enjoyable.
And obviously, like, add in that atmosphere with like tons of nostalgia in our lives. So like, we've got the nostalgia. We're very excited about that this weekend. If you haven't watched our YouTube episode of the Nosebleeds, please do.
Watch that. It. You'll love it. You guys will love it. It's Cheap Seats 2.0.
It's great. It's fantastic. I'm not saying you're not poking me to say it. No. It's true. It's gangbusters. Thank me later. Watch it on YouTube.
It's crazy fun, and it is what we love to do the most, and then go get Fight Pass.
So we just did an episode of Damaschek's podcast. Fantastic. Will you please let people know about it, how they can hear, and all the stuff you're doing?
Well, me and Peyton Manning, you know, two big brands
in sport, huge,
have finally teamed up. People have been pushing for that for some
time.
Omaha Productions, ESPN, Extra Points with Cousin Sal, who you know from the Kimmel Show and beyond. Kevin Hench, a cast of about a dozen other people, number of podcasts there. Minus Three is the one I do with Kevin Hench a couple of times a week. Cousin Sal and I and Marty Weiss do Extra Points a couple of times a week. It's great fun talking sports, chopping it up.
A blast.
Best bets. Laughs, good. All of it. And no more laughs than when the Sklar's
love it.
It was
love
great,
it.
Good times. So appreciate you doing
so
it.
So check that out. All of that stuff out. All right, should we get into some
quick hits? Let's do a quick hits. All right, so there are no longer any accidents. Like, no one can take an L in this world anymore.
Right.
We've said that. Like, you can't break up with someone without that person coming to your house with a gun. You can't fire someone without them wanting to come back and shoot up the cubicle. Like, no one can take an L in this universe anymore. Am I right, Rand?
You are. So, Easton Oliverson's family is now suing Little League Baseball after the 12-year-old was injured in a fall from his bunk bed at the Little League World Series.
It was baseball's fault?
Claiming it's the organization's negligence that contributed to this accident. I mean, look.
What are you supposed to do? Put a guard next to the bed? So if he starts to roll, you're like, hands up?
I'm going to say this. Like, that is my fear of every bunk bed, that it's going to fall through. Like, don't sleep on the top. Every kid's like, don't sleep on the top.
Look,
the kid really hurt himself. Fractured skull, brain bleed. It's not good what happened to this kid. It's bad.
But it's not the Little League World Series fault.
Like, maybe you can I don't know.
How?
Who do we go after in this scenario, in this situation? You know what I mean?
You can be mad and you can say this is unfair and this sucks for this kid. And I hope he gets better.
I really do hope he gets better because he's a good kid. All those Little League World Series kids are great kids. I love them. I love that they cry openly.
And I love, there's the moment that, how about the kid, the Little League, the moment that we saw over and over again, the kid throws the pitch and it hits the kid in the head and he goes to first base and you can tell the pitcher's really, really upset about it. Guy calls time, kid on first base comes over and hugs the pitcher. Ugh. You want to cry. It's the greatest.
It's nice. Again, the other side of the coin is great. Kids getting some shine.
Yeah, a lot of shine.
12 years old, national TV.
Maybe the peak of their lives.
Hit big home run. Sure. Everybody knows them for the rest of their lives. What if Damashek's out there? The things that happened on the Little League field when I was there.
Sure.
I was ashamed that 11 people saw it, you know? What if several million were watching it on TV? The kid fell out. He hurt his head. I hope he's well. What about the emotional scars that I carry with me? They would have been times a million had they been broadcast for the world to see.
And no Mo Damashek after the game to be like, honey, you were great. I mean,
no, the Scott Van Pelt's not going to interview Mo Damashek, and she'll be able to, like, do some damage control on whatever you did in right field. Right?
No, I imagine it'd be like Frank Gifford or someone of that age when I was a kid, like putting
Pat
a microphone.
Summerall, have a drink, son.
What happened? Why'd you beat when the bases were loaded? Why'd you beat the girl on the who was batting lefty on the other team in between the shoulder blades? That actually happened to me once.
Oh,
I was throwing a no-no through three innings. Damashek takes the hump for the fourth. Doing really well. Loads the bases full.
Loads the bases full with walks, or did people get hits?
No, I walked. I walked them all, and then the only girl in the league steps into the plate.
Crush
and if you know, like when you're in Little League, when somebody is on your side of the plate, I'm a lefty, she was in the batter's box on the left, that trips your eyeballs up.
It does mess you up a little bit.
First pitch, right between the shoulder blades.
Oh, man.
That was it for me.
That was it.
Out. You got the hook, and you were out.
So, again, I cannot stress enough how much I want this kid to get better. I don't want him to have a brain fracture or any of this stuff. But I'm like, I don't know if you can sue the Little League World Series for the Bucks.
First of all, it would be weird if you did want him to have a brain fracture.
That
would
be a
horrible.
I want him to be okay. That's the most important thing of this whole thing. But like, who can he sue? Can he sue the bunk bed company?
Maybe going forward, they should, or maybe you guys could come up with the technology. You know, like Fenway Park, like over the Green Monster, they have that net on the other side to catch it. Maybe the nets for bunk beds to catch children.
So that's a great idea, number one. And number two, what if ESPN and the Little League World Series said, we're going to raise money for this kid, and that's what they do, that fund every year for this kid to get back. To me,
there you go.
And then it's everybody participating. Then you're not suing the Little League World Series because it's not their fault. They don't go and check all the bunk beds. But then it becomes a group thing that helps this kid out because that's what happened.
Did I tell you, I don't know if I told you this, but I definitely told you, Ann, that my
daughter's 8-year-old basketball league.
Yeah.
This rec league, Pan Pacific Rec League. Mm-hmm. She made it to the championship game, their team, and it was like co-ed league, and they lost, and they had all the trophies out on the scorers table for the whole game, big trophies, and they lose, and they get medals. The losing team gets these kinda like medals, good. Not nearly as good as the trophy.
No,
the
trophy's
amazing. Kids were crying, and you know what I said? Good.
You like
good,
that, huh?
Good. Yes. And I asked my daughter, I said, how did it feel? I was like, she's like, I wanted the trophy. She was crying too. I'm like, are really, you're crying? Like, you care that much? And she's like, yeah, I won the trophy. And I'm like, good.
Play better
That's
next time.
That's what happens. You play better, next time and you win the trophy. Like, and she's like, there were a couple 12-year-olds on that other team. And then I asked the league. I was like, were there some 12-year-olds on that team? Because it is an 8-year-old league. And they're like, yeah, they had to fill out the league. And I was like, all right, so now it's not fair, but still, I do like that one
message,
team.
Right.
The message that you don't get the big trophy if you don't win. You get the like little that. Medal that you get to cry about, and you can be like, hey, I want to do better next
but
time.
But along those lines, Rawlings has decided to honor the,
where I'm going with
the
this.
Utility man with a Gold Glove Award this year.
Finally!
The utility
man. Did you watch our special, our Oquendo special, trying to get Jose Oquendo into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
No.
It was on ESPN, a fantastic.
I'm going to make you watch it. You can go back on YouTube.
I love the idea.
Quest for Cooperstown. We had a quest to try and get Jose Oquendo into the Hall of Fame.
You had me at Hello Kendo. I loved watching him. He was one of those guys who wore his hat before it was hip to do it.
Flat
brim. He always wore the flat brim, and it looked like he just perched it on top of his head. He didn't really pull it down. It was just like, I have to wear this, right? Well, yeah. I'm just going to rest it as easily as I possibly can atop my head. No, that's awesome that you did that.
So, but now they're giving a Gold Glove for the utility man, which, by the way, is something that should have happened a long time ago. The guy who fills in on all the positions.
Right, the guy who can do them all. He does. He's most worthy of a Gold Glove.
Who's good at that? The best
so
at that?
Tony La Russa, we were interviewing him for the thing, and you're watching the special. He said to us, back when he was coherent,
he wasn't asleep at a traffic light.
He said to us, you have a guy like Oquendo on your team. That means you can carry an extra pitcher because this guy, I don't have to have the position guy because this guy can do
I don't have to carry an extra outfielder.
I just carry Oquendo.
I can do Oquendo. Everything.
I mean, what a great strategy right there. It's a fantastic thing. So
I like that a lot. That's a great call. I played baseball through childhood. I still have never gotten a good answer. Why? I get the catcher's mitt has to be extra padded up because people are throwing 90
miles an hour.
The claw.
I knew you were asking about the
claw.
Why
the first? No, the first base glove. What is that?
The claw.
It's the claw. What does it do?
Because it hopefully is larger to get the ball to kind of go in the web. It's like just a bigger mitt.
Longer so that you can make contact with the ball sooner.
Sooner.
So that
it's all about
the
stretch and just getting the out. Like, that's what it is. It's just a bigger area to suck.
Well, so then why wouldn't outfielders want the claw? Why do they want claw technology on their hands?
Because the outfielder needs
somewhat of a feel
through the thing a little bit more, and they need to manipulate the glove a little bit more if you're going up the wall.
We talked on -3 about our collective fascination with barefoot kickers. We don't talk enough of things that have happened. The baseball mitts.
From just a glove that you would wear on your hand, an isotoner glove.
How did that thing seems like it would get in the way of actually catching the ball. Like, I'm talking like 40s, that one that they would just leave there.
Yes.
You would share it. You're just like, the other team's going to use it,
it's
just
crazy.
Leave it on the base kind of thing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it just is like, it just looks like a piece of burlap that like that helps you. What is that going to do for you?
So like nothing. Just guys with terrible fielding percentages, and you can blame a lot of that on the glove. And by the way, there were moments like in the 70s where the field, I'm like, did they mow that field? Like no grounds crew whatsoever.
Right.
In like it's basically like a softball league in the Central Park. It's essentially.
How about Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain going head to head over and over again, and Chuck Taylors?
Yeah.
Didn't that hurt their legs?
How about
you ever warn them to walk? You ever go to Disney or otherwise? We'll go to an amusement park and Chuck Taylors.
Mike's
like,
the worst.
It feels like I'm walking on boards. There's that, and then to me the other notion from the 70s was like the Oakland Raiders. Playing, like having to run on a baseball diamond.
Oh, yeah.
Like just on like dirt. Just getting tackled on dirt.
Getting tackled in the second
baseline.
Like a
skimmed infield.
Oh, I love the aesthetics of a baseball field in the middle of a football game delight me, especially when it rains and it turns into a mud fest.
Yeah.
If you ask football players about it, they're on board with you.
They hate it.
They're like,
have you ever been tackled on that? I'm like, I haven't, but I'll take your word. That seems like that would.
Didn't
hurt
we interview
more.
Dan Dierdorf and he said the AstroTurf at St. Louis at Busch Stadium in St. Louis ruined his knees?
Oh yeah,
forever.
Totally.
It was like being tackled. Let's stay in
the world of football. Myles Garrett calling out the fans in Cleveland for booing the team.
All right, listen. After they blow a 13-point lead to
the Jets.
If this happens to Tom Brady, you're like, he's Tom Brady. He's the greatest of all time. He's the GOAT. He did some magic.
No, they're booing you because your organization chose to bet on Deshaun Watson.
They're booing you because tickets are expensive for the NFL.
And, like,
you had a win in your pocket. Didn't Chubb say that he, like, should have just gone down?
Right.
And that would have won the game.
The issue was, it's weird if you're not a big football person. It probably doesn't make any sense. But, yes, he would have been better off to fall down because the Jets had no timeouts. And so he didn't. So had he not scored the touchdown, they could have just run the clock out. And the Jets would never have touched the ball again. It's a weird thing, though, to tell somebody.
Don't
like,
try.
Hey, among all the other considerations, like, try not to do what you have been taught to do for right. the last 20 years of your life. Don't do that. Don't score. Whatever
That's
else
right.
you do, don't do that. Yes, you hit on the key detail here. I love Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry and the players all acting like I'm trying to think of which lineman it was for the Browns saying like, hey, I guess it's us against the world. That's how it's always been. No. No one ever gave a crap about you, Browns. You were a punchline.
It's you against your fans now.
But then you went and on purpose signed Deshaun Watson for a quarter of $1 billion.
Yes.
Of course people aren't going to like you.
No one likes you now, and now your fans don't even like you.
They will like you if you win a bunch of games.
So this goes to a bigger philosophical question, and I do want your opinion on this. Is it okay to boo your own team? Like, is it – because, Michigan fans got a lot of heat because they booed Cade McNamara because he couldn't complete a pass against – you know, a cupcake team like Hawaii, and everyone's like, yeah, you can't boo them, and that's how dare you boo your own team. Like, no, I think you can boo your team. I think you can't heckle your team. I think it's not okay to, like, get in someone's face like you're, you know, heckling, you know, I don't know, a lion at a zoo and being like, there's a glass partition, and you're like, no, these are people, and they're human beings, and they can hear you. You can't make fun of a guy and his mom.
You can voice your displeasure.
You could be like, boo, I don't like that. How dare you go with 13-point lead, and in 25 seconds you lose this game? You can say boo,
he's
I'm
gotta
angry.
Know.
Of course you're allowed to boo. It's a weird thing, and you know, in general, I'm all for free speech because it so often allows people to embarrass themselves with their horrible opinions.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if you boo somebody who doesn't deserve it, well, you're telling
yourself. You're hanging
yourself
with your own rope.
Right. But, yes, the Browns deserve to get booed for blowing a 2-touchdown lead
to the
Joe Flacco and the Jets. of course. And the bigger picture, the Browns deserve to be booed in an ongoing way going forward because of the Deshaun Watson thing.
And
nobody ever cared about them until they did that.
Yeah.
But, yes, you should be able to boo. However, I do think it's very funny that Philadelphia, and New York does this too, but Philadelphia really, really has outsized pride in booing people and bragging when a guy like, did you see Laquon Treadwell for the Vikings who was drafted high by the Eagles and it didn't pan out
right,
and he got pushed out of town.
Yeah.
Now he's on the Vikings. Just like Chris Carter did. That worked out for Chris Carter going to Minnesota. We'll see how it goes for Treadwell.
Sure.
In the meantime, Philadelphia as a sports town takes great pride. Same thing with Ben Simmons too. In like, hey, Philly's too tough for a lot of people. Can't hack it.
Can't handle it.
And the media does this too. It's the fans and the media. Like, are you sure this isn't you're helping out? If you want your teams to win, like, you can boo guys out of the town and then
you
puff your chest out. See, we did it again. Like, yeah but he's good.
Maybe
if you wouldn't have been emotionally abusive.
You're
to him,
proud of the wrong things here. You should be proud of your players, not proud of how you boot them out of town.
Everybody wants to feel important. Everybody is.
They all want to feel like they had an effect on the
game.
That is it. All right, you guys, for our Patreon fans, we've got a fantastic, oh my God.
Extra story that we're going to do.
Extra story. About parking lot tempers running high, which is literally the way it goes in tailgating season. Dave Damashek, thank you again. Everybody should check out all of your podcasts and stuff that you're doing on the Omaha
Extra
Network.
Points with Cousin Sal. Minus three.
On Spotify Live on Tuesday nights, I now do a list-based sports game. game show.
Oh, my God.
Which is really pathetic, but also really fun for me. It's a lifelong dream.
To be a host, to be a game show host.
A game show host.
Come on.
Who decided like a decade ago that that A-list celebrities who are handsome or pretty and kind to their contestants, that's not what a game show host supposed to be.
You should be angry.
You should be a used car salesman like, I don't trust this guy. He's kind of smarmy.
He's berating me.
I don't hate him, though, for whatever reason. I kind of can listen to him. Who's that described? Dave Damashek.
Dave Damashek. There you go. All right, so check that out. And when we come back, special voicemail on the other side of the break. But Patreon fans, you got to join, and you'll get another great story with Dave Damashek. We'll be right back. Dave Damashek, everybody.
Come on.
Unbelievable. The guy is just incredible. He makes me happy, and he is why we do this thing, so that we can chop it up with guys like that. All right. We have a very special voicemail we got to relay it to you right now. Enjoy.
Hey, Jason, Randy, how are you young bucks doing? This is your boy, Chris. Chris Christopherson, and I wanted to run something by you boys. Ooh, the Bayou Boys. You two are New Orleans through and through. Two Bayou Boys. I know when I think about the Sklars, I think about two deep southern Bayou gentlemen. Anyway, I want to run something by you, the Bayou Boys. And I was asked by, I got a call, and a gentleman on the phone says, hello, I'm from Amazon. And I said, oh, what part? Ecuador? The Brazilian part? And he explained to me that Amazon is not just a river. It is a company. And that confused the hell out of me because I have been on the Amazon River. David Duchovny, and Suzanne Plachette. This was 1997. And we went down, we did 4 pounds of peyote, and we rode that river till kingdom come. Anyway, Amazon, the company, calls me up and they explain to me that they now have football. They have Thursday night football on Amazon, and they need a rip rocking tune to welcome people in, you know, like they have on the other channels. Oh, my rowdy friends are coming over tonight. That's a great song. So they said to me, they said, Chris Christopherson, can you write like a rip-rocking football anthem? We need the man who wrote Bobby McGee to write us something. And I said, I will do my best. And because when there is one footprint in the sand, that is when there is two birds in the bush. So I got this song I want to run by you guys. So here's how it goes, all right? There's a football in America. Somebody get that football. Where is the football? Who is a football? Am I asleep in a Texas prison? And that's just where I'm starting off. And then what happens in the bridge comes in and it goes, football, 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 football. Take a foot and take it to the ball. Don't kick me in my balls. Football, 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 football. I say football 75 more times, so we'll just cut that out. And then the final verse is, when it's Thursday night and it's time for football, come to Amazon with me and David Duchovny. So, you know, what do you guys think about that?
There you go. That is a show, guys. Tonight,
see us in Ann Arbor.
Ann Arbor, Michigan. Tonight, we will be there at the Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase. And for MGO Blog fans, right afterwards, for $10 more, it's really not that much. You can hop in and we'll do like a question answer with Brian and Seth on stage with us. It's going to be super fun. 4 of us on stage. You can ask us anything.
Talk about comedy. We can talk about Michigan. We can talk about everything. It's going to be a really fun hang session
after tonight's show. And I think tickets are going for tonight and tomorrow night. They're selling pretty well. So let's stay on it. Let's get on these things and let's sell these shows out. It'll be a blast. We'll see you in Ann Arbor this weekend and punch a waterfall.
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.